Thank you very much, David. And thank you very much to the organisers for inviting me to speak briefly here today. So I'm the person on the panel who's never been a government chief scientific advisor. So I'm not in the room right at the moment when science and politics are brought together. But I have been playing a different role, particularly during the current crisis, in what I think of as a pathway that goes from politics through civil servants to independent scientific advice and then back again. So the way I think of it is there's a bunch of politicians and they have questions they need help with addressing. They get help from their civil servants, and the civil servants pose a set of questions to some academics. And I have been co-chairing something called SPI-M. So that's basically a bunch of mathematical modellers who are a subgroup giving advice into the SAGE. And I co-chair that with Graham Medley and Paul Allen. The way it's been working this 5 months is that SPI-M will then hand over their science advice to SAGE. And then it's Patrick Balance and Chris Whitty, the chairs of SAGE, who actually take that advice back to ministers. And of course, it's not a lovely circle. It's a rather complicated affair. And a lot of what I've been doing has really been going backwards and forwards between academics and civil servants. And really, what I've been trying to do there is to elicit a really sensible set of questions. We call it a commission. So elicit a good commission and equally elicit a sensible response from the academic modellers in SPI-M. And when I first joined in this process, the commission would look like an incredibly long list of questions. I don't know if you remember, but at the stage at which lockdown was imposed, there were 10 interventions. So things like self-isolation if you're poorly, household quarantine if someone else is in your household is poorly, but also the closing of playgrounds. And the very first commission we had was, to all intents and purposes, all possible combinations of those 10 interventions. And I do remember sitting actually right in this room on a Zoom call with a bunch of people tearing their hair out. And what we sent back was a set of time series, so very, very large number of squiggly lines that basically said, well, if you do this, then that. And I rather suspect, well, I know, that that also elicited equal tearing out of hair from the civil servants at the other end. If I could have the first of my slides, please. After lots and lots of talking backwards and forwards between me, really, well, me and the other co-chairs as representatives of SPI-M and our colleagues in CCS, we've got a much broader range of what I would call science advice products that we take to them. I don't want to go into all of the details of this, but this is one of the kind of things, and I've shown you a photograph of my working copy, because you can see how doodled over it is, and it's got coffee stains on it. It lives on my desk, actually it lives on my desk or in my bag, because we use it a lot to have conversations about, well, what kind of thing might you want to do, just to give you a sense of what it is. Each one of those little squares has got along the x-axis, fundamentally, how much are people venturing outside their own front door. On the y-axis is how much is this R number that we all talk about so much, the average number of secondary infections caused by one case. And the coloured ribbons represent how many children are back at school. So turquoise is half the primary schools are back, yellow is all the primary schools are back, red is all the school children are back. And then the columns going from left to right are how good is our contact tracing, and the rows are how good is our COVID security. That's basically how safe is it to be in the pub if there's somebody else there who happens to have COVID that day. What we're trying to do with these pictures is capture inside each of those little squares the things we feel sort of most secure that we do know. So we actually know a lot about how different age groups of society work with each other, and we feel reasonably secure in that we know roughly how much people are venturing outside their front door. And then there are things that we don't know so well yet. We're getting better at knowing how good we are at contact tracing. We know that we're really not good at all at measuring this thing that we call COVID security. But we put it in anyway, because it's a really helpful part of the conversation to have, to say, we wish we knew this, and at the moment we don't know how to measure it. Next slide, please. And oops, that's misplaced. So that nose sign is supposed to sit over the ruler, because one of our greater worries is that somebody's going to take one of these pictures and use it to actually sort of say, oh, well, I can let another 5% of people out today then, which of course is not at all what these are supposed to be for. We certainly don't have that much accuracy in predicting exactly how big this R value is. But we do have some understanding about how it changes with those different variables. And I would say so with really a lot of backwards and forwards between civil servants and scientists in my bit of the circle. I think we have made progress. We certainly feel like we are making more useful answers. And I know that my civil service colleagues in Cabinet Office feel that they are asking better questions. And I think it's really important to say that that's been a collaboration. That's a two-way street. It's not that one person told the other person how to do it. The other thing that's happened, sorry, and I must not forget to say that these fabulous pictures, that we call these ready reckoners, and they were invented by a mathematical biologist at Bristol called Ellen Brooks Pollock. So the other thing that's gone on, as well as all that collaboration between different sorts of people, is astonishing amounts of long hours worked. And because of that, we have been able again and again, when sent a question from politicians via civil servants, to get answers back, sometimes on very tight turnaround times. So I would argue that it has been possible to do timely, relevant, independent advice. This business of collaborating to think about how the advice should be presented has had some people feeling uneasy, and they say, oh, well, how can you collaborate with the people who are asking the question but still be independent? I don't think that's a problem. If I could have the next slide, please. Here, I think, is where I think there is some problem. So what we've got here is just two witches. One of them is saying, eye of newt, spleen of rat, and leg of toad. Look, I'm just following the science. And I think it's that word, science, that brings me to the other half of this conversation. I think I would be happier if that word were replaced with another one. I think probably a better word would be hearing the science. And that would be to reflect the ideal that science advice should be present at the beating heart of government decision making, but only one of the things that's taken into account. So finally, if I could just talk a little bit about actually what it's been like these last 5 months attending SAGE, co-chairing SPIEM. I guess nobody who's been involved in an enduring emergency in which 45,000 people have lost their lives could possibly feel wholly happy about it. But nevertheless, the experience of working with SAGE and SPIEM has been collegiate, it's been collaborative, there's been this intense sense of urgency in the work we've done. And I, for one, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. So I think it's been possible to bring relevant science advice developed at a great pace right into the heart of political decision making. I think the fact that it has been so high profile is good for science, but it is still very important as ever to preserve the independence of the people who do that work, and also to be quite clear that the science advice is just one of the considerations on the table in the room when politicians make the decisions. Thank you.